today in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to welcome Pastor Brennan to come and deliver the word this morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Hey, everyone. I want to welcome you once again to Toronto City Church, to our online worship experience. It is so good to see you. I wish you were here. I wish we were all together. But again, it is what it is in the season. We're trusting God. We're pushing forward together. We also finished the first week of our TCC United 21 Days of Joy, where we've been uniting together as a church family around prayer, seeking God, reading the Word. We've been doing a lot of different things together. And so I trust you've had a great first week. If you maybe missed the memo or you hadn't jumped on board with us yet, I want to invite you. You can still join us for the next 2 weeks as we continue in these 21 days of joy. Just a little bit of context for that. Our verse we've been building this focus out of is Nehemiah 8, verse 10. It says, "Then he said to them, 'Go your way, eat the fat, drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready, for this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength.'" And so we're continuing our discussion on joy. Today I'm going to take some more time to teach you what the scriptures say about joy. And obviously we're continuing in our journey of joy for the 21 days with TCC United. And so I want to encourage you, if you've not yet jumped on board, get on the email list, get plugged in, get involved. We'd love to have you with us on this journey. Now, this past week, we talked about how we were focusing on J for Jesus, and so there was a vertical focus. We had a lot of prayer, a lot of focus on Him. This week, we're going to be moving into the focus around the O, or around others. And so there's some very key things that I want to encourage you. Again, this will all be sent to you via email, but I just want to make some comment or some mention of it regarding the importance of others. First thing, get involved in a connection. Connection groups are such an important part of what we do here at Toronto City Church. They're such an important part of connecting with each other and being involved, being journeying together. And so when we talk about others, what an amazing time just to get plugged in and get connected. And so you can go online. We'll also send out some information to find out when connections are, or just contact us at the office. We will help you find a connection that works. But Christianity was not meant to be lived alone. It was not meant to be done alone. It's a team sport. It's meant to be done within community. There's that old proverb that says, if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go with others. And we want to go far in God. We want to go together. And so we want to encourage you to be involved. We also have an encouragement challenge this week. And so check your email regarding that. But we're going to be taking time every day to encourage others in our church family. And just to reach out outside of ourselves, especially in a season like we're in right now, where we get outside of ourselves, we say, hey, let me encourage others. Let me be a blessing to others. And so we're going to be doing that. Obviously, the Bible reading's continuing. The daily video devotionals are continuing. Join us on YouTube at 7 a.m. Monday to Friday and do that. We are also going to have the House of Prayer, worship and prayer on Tuesday at 7:30. And then last but not least this week, Friday night, join me and Pastor Sharon and some very special friends. We're going to be uniting for a Bible study and prayer time via Zoom with another church family, another church community. And so I'm not going to tell you who it is. You're going to have to tune in to find out, or we may leak it out later this week. We'll find out. But we make sure to join us on Friday night as we unite together, not just thinking about others within our church community, but having a kingdom perspective. Amen? All right, well, let's dive right back in. We want to talk some more about joy. This month, God's been speaking to us about joy. He's talking about recapturing the lost art of joy, walking in the joy that He has for us. You remember last week we talked about the importance of joy. We talked about how Jesus was the most joyful person in history. We talked about how He said, "My joy I give to you, that your joy may be full." And this was John 15:11. And so you want to say it? And God is teaching us in joy. God is training us in joy. Guys, He wants us to learn to walk in fresh joy in this season we're in right now. But there's also some things He's teaching us. I've said this before, but I want to park here for a moment here. There's some things He's teaching us in the area of joy that are preparing us for the things that He has called us to in the future. Right? There's something that I believe He wants to equip us in a new level in joy where we can learn to have joy in any situation, any circumstance. that we can learn to walk in His joy no matter what's going on in the world around us. You know, we say a lot about faith. You know, well, anyone can have faith when the money's in the bank and everything's going the way they want it to go, and you clearly see how everything's going to work out. Anyone can have faith at that point, but it takes real faith when the money isn't there yet, when you're not quite sure how it's all going to work out, when you don't see how things are coming together, but you choose to believe God anyways. Well, it's the same thing with joy, family, right? Anyone can have joy when everything's going the way they want it to go, right? When they've got everything they need, everything's happening, they're getting all the wins they want to win. But see, when we learn to walk in God's joy, it's not tied to our outward circumstances, but it's tied to our relationship to Him. It's tied to who we are in Him, and it's tied to what we know of what He's called us to. That's why James, for example, in James 1, I don't have a reference right here, but he says, count it all joy when you go through various trials and tribulations. Like, that doesn't make any sense naturally. I don't want to count it all joy when I'm going through trials and tribulations. But he said, count it all joy. In other words, learn to rejoice, learn to be filled with joy, no matter the circumstances. And it's interesting, because he said, knowing this. He said, the test of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance may have a perfect work, so you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. Right, joy comes from what we know. And all this joy comes from what we know, but joy comes from who we know. Right, but so many of us, our joy is still tied to the circumstances around us. It's tied to, last week I was joking a bit about the song, saying, you know, that old school song says, this joy I have, the world didn't give it to me. This joy I have, the world didn't give it to me. This joy I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. But yet, for so many of us as Christians, guys, our joy is from the world, and so the world can take it away. The enemy robs us of our joy because our joy is not in what we know from the Word and who we know, but it's based on the circumstances around us. So God is shifting this in us, and He's saying, listen, I'm teaching you to be joyful no matter what's going on around you. I'm teaching you to tap into the force and the power of my joy regardless of the circumstances. And I really come to believe, even in this study, and in doing this as a church family, guys, I believe that one of the greatest witnesses that we can give to who Jesus Christ is in the world that we're in the days to come is going to be joy. I believe that when people come into our gatherings and they experience joy, it's going to be attractive to them. When people see the joy in our lives, even the midst with all that's going on in the world around us, they're going to look at us like, how are you filled with joy? Where is this joy coming from? Joy is attractive. Think about this. Would you rather go hang out with a group of people who are laughing, who are having fun, who are celebrating, or go hang out with a group of people who are all sitting around crying and feeling terrible about the situations in their life? Now, obviously, if you're going in there to comfort those people, you want to do that. But even I like to just really bored, you know, really just sitting there. If you remember years ago, there was this Pepsi commercial. Some of you will remember this commercial, but it was these delivery guys. And the one delivery guy looks at the other guy, and they're delivering Coke and they're delivering Pepsi. And he said, oh no. He said, we delivered the Coke to the wrong place and the Pepsi to the wrong place. He said a little smoother than this, but basically we sent the Pepsi to the retirement home, and we sent the Coke to the frat house. And then I looked at it and said, Coke, Pepsi, what's the difference? And then the commercial flashes, and it flashes to the frat house, and all the college kids are all sitting there, and they're kind of reading really boring magazines and just doing whatever. You know, just it's looking very, very cool. And then they flash to the retirement home, and they're having like a dance party, and everyone's going. And obviously, it's a real silly commercial. But there was something they were trying to tap into. There's something that, you know, is about joy. And they're trying to say, well, Pepsi's going to bring joy. Well, Pepsi's not going to bring joy. Coke's not going to bring joy. I want you to understand, money's not going to bring true joy. All these things, it's Jesus. I mean, but this joy is attractive. And I believe that there's this realm that God wants us to grow into where He's saying, listen, I want you to walk in my joy for you, but also because there's something that's attractive about my joy to the world around you. We have done a disservice as the church. Guys, I say this humbly, but straightforward, we've done a disservice as the church when we've not demonstrated the joy that's in Jesus. When we've not demonstrated the joy that comes from knowing Him, following Him. Right? Sometimes we've been afraid. We've been afraid to praise and worship and dance and just walk in the joy of what God has. So we're like, well, we don't want to scare people. No, people are attracted to joy. People are attracted to celebration. At first they might think it's a little strange. They might be wondering, but then it gets their attention. And so in this season, God is calling us to be marked by joy, God wants Toronto City Church to be marked by joy. May 2021 be a year of joy in Jesus' name going forward. When we come back together, I want to challenge you. We're going to come together and we're going to have, there's going to be so much joy even together. And it's not just going to be a human thing. There's an anointing of joy that God is releasing over 2021 for every one of us who receive it. Come on, somebody just say it right now where you are. Say, I receive the joy. Come on, somebody say it right now. Say, I am filled with joy. One last thought here before I move forward into looking at some scriptures about joy today. Every major move of God, if you study revival history, if you study moves of God, every major move of God was marked by joy. If you go back and you talk about the Jesus People movement, the 70s into the 80s, you get into those gatherings. I mean, I wasn't there. I wasn't born yet. But I was. My parents were involved in it. Many of you who are of the boomer generation would have been involved. There was this joy. There was this joy at just worshiping Jesus, this joy in loving God. You go back and you talk about the move of God in the Azusa Street revival. And there was this joy, this exuberance in serving God. Yes, there's repentance. And yes, there's crying out to God. But there's joy. You talk about having an airport Christian fellowship and the move of God that was the joy. You look at places like, I know, the Brownsville move of God in the 90s, it was very marked by repentance and getting on your face before God and hearts of brokenness, but there was still a joy that was there, right? Moves of God are always one of the expressions of it is of joy. And so God is calling us in this season to lean into joy. He's calling us to dive into joy. He wants to mark us with joy. He wants to mark us with joy. Make a decision this season. Make a decision today. Make a decision this month. I am not going to settle for a low joy walk with God anymore. But I'm going to walk in the fullness of joy. Jesus said he gave me his joy. Jesus said my joy is supposed to be full. Jesus said that we are going to walk in this joy, that it's a fruit of the Spirit. We are going to walk in this together. Now, let me just take a couple scriptures today. I know I've just been stirring your heart, preaching and stirring you up regarding joy. I just want to look at some different scriptures. I want to see what they speak to us about joy as we continue this journey of being joyful, of living out the art of joy. Let's start with Romans 14:17. Romans 14:17 says this, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." See, guys, one of the key indicators, one of the key fruit of the life of the kingdom is joy. This is what I want us to get. We think joy is unusual, or we think joy is maybe, no, joy is supposed to be just kind of like meat and potatoes of the kingdom of God. There is joy in the Holy Spirit. You know, when we read this verse, a lot of times, maybe it's just the way we've been trained or kind of the theology that we've all grown up with in many ways. We don't have a problem seeing the kingdom is about righteousness. I'm thankful for righteousness. You know, the breastplate of righteousness, that we are righteous in God through Christ. Right? That we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's what the scripture tells us. So we see it. We get that. Yeah, kingdom's about righteousness. And then peace. Yeah, you know, just the peace that Jesus gives us, the peace that passes all understanding. When you walk with God, there's a peace in your life. We get that. But just as much as there's righteousness, just as much as there's peace, guys, there is joy in the Holy Spirit. And there's this joy that he's called us to walk in, this happiness, this life, this celebration, this exuberance in him. There is joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, it's interesting because it's something that we don't just automatically default into. It's something we learn to walk in, right? Like, we're righteous, but we learn to walk in the righteousness. Peace, we learn to walk. It's the same way we learn to walk in joy. And I love it because there's a reminder here. Joy comes from the Holy Spirit. Again, this joy I have, the world didn't give it. The world didn't take it away. Why? Because who gave it? The Holy Spirit gave it to me. It's the joy in the Holy Spirit. So we're in the Holy Spirit. We're just in this natural ecosystem for joy. But we also just need to be encouraged because, again, some of us might be listening and feeling like, well, I'm not good at joy. I suffer with depression. I suffer with just feeling sad or feeling melancholy all the time. I know for myself, I naturally, I'm more of a thoughtful person. I'm a little more melancholic in my personality. But I don't need to just look to myself. This joy is from the Holy Spirit. And so we see that. Now, speaking of joy being from the Spirit, this segues very nicely into our next verse, which is Galatians 5:22-23. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy." Somebody say joy. "Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So let's take a few moments to talk about the fruit of the Spirit, because this is another foundational teaching for us as Christians, is to understand the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. But see, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, these are spiritual forces that we don't work up in ourselves, but they are things that come by the Holy Spirit in us. In other words, they're fruit of the Spirit in our lives. In other words, when the Holy Spirit comes and indwells us, and as we grow in our relationship with Him, as we grow in our walk with Jesus, these fruit are what are going to show up. And joy is listed as one of these fruit. Now, I could do a whole secondary teaching and move into just talking about the fruit of the Spirit, because all these things in our lives, so often we are trying to get these in our own strength, and yet they are fruit of the Spirit in our spirits, the fruit of the Holy Spirit in us. And if we just put our faith in the gospel, put our faith in what God has done for us, put our faith in the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we'll see growing, we'll see love increase, we'll see joy increase, we'll see peace increase, we'll see patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. These are all works of the Holy Spirit in us. We don't have to try harder. We just have to yield to Him. And joy is one of those works of the Holy Spirit. You don't grow. Think about this, the picture of fruit. You don't grow fruit by trying harder, right? You grow fruit by staying plugged into and abiding in the vine, right? John 15, verse 5, Jesus said, I'm the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he that will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Right? Apart from me, when you're not plugged into the vine, you can do nothing. That means that if we're talking about joy being a fruit of the Spirit, I'm going to have joy when I'm plugged into the vine. I'm going to have joy when I'm abiding in Him. I'm going to have joy when I'm yielding to the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. Guys, that's why it's so important that we continue to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, because when we stop yielding to Him, that's when the flow starts to get cut off. And for certain believers, they said no to Holy Spirit in an area of their life. They said, no, come on, I'm talking to somebody right now. This wasn't in my notes. They said no to the Holy Spirit, and then their spiritual life began to dry up. And I just don't know what's wrong. Well, maybe I just need to go to a new church, or maybe I need to do this differently or do that. No, you just need to say yes to Holy Spirit, because when you don't yield to Him, the flow gets cut off. But see, when you stay in a position of being yielded to Him and the flow keeps going, the fruit keeps growing, right? When the flow is going, the fruit is going to keep growing. Let the fruit of joy continue to grow in your life as you yield to the Holy Spirit. Where can you yield to the Holy Spirit this week? Where can you yield to the Holy Spirit during this season? Where and how can you yield to the Holy Spirit in this year of 2021? Because the more you yield to Him, the more there's a flow, and the more fruit is going to grow. And joy is a fruit of the Spirit that is going to grow as we yield to the Spirit in our lives. You do not have to do this in your own strength. Listen, none of these fruit will come from us trying harder. That's why a Christianity of just me digging in and trying harder never gets me to where God wants me to go. It's always a faith that says, I'm putting my faith and trust in you. I'm putting my faith and trust in your work in my life. Even right now, I just want to take a moment. If you want to see more joy manifesting, let's ask Holy Spirit to manifest that in our lives in a new and greater way. Come on, just put your hands out where you are right now. And just pray this to me. Say, Holy Spirit, help me to grow in joy. Holy Spirit, fill me with the joy of Jesus today. And you just receive that in Jesus' name. I just speak and I prophesy joy into your life, not by your strength, but by the works of the Holy Spirit. I take authority right now over depression and oppression that has bound up so many of you in your life. In the name of Jesus, that is not your portion. That is not what you're called to. You are a son or daughter of the Most High God, and your portion is joy. Your portion is peace. Your portion is love. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And because the Holy Spirit's inside of you, as you learn to just continue to yield to Him, the joy of the Lord, which is your strength, will overwhelm sadness, will overwhelm depression. Someone's listening to me right now, and you've been grieving the death of someone, and there is a healthy grief that we need to walk through as human beings, but there is a joy of the Lord that is coming to you right now There is a joy of the Lord. I speak it and I prophesy it over your life in Jesus' name. There is no longer sadness is going to be your constant companion. No longer is depression going to be your constant companion. They were there for a season, but they are being replaced by the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. Receive the joy today in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's look at a few more verses, then we're going to be done. Philippians 4, verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Come on, somebody say rejoice. Right? I love the word rejoice. It's kind of like rejoin. In other words, kind of renew it. Stir it back up again. It's almost like stir up joy in you. It's there by the Holy Spirit. Jesus has filled you with his joy, but you got to stir it up. Right? You got to stir up that joy. You know, it's interesting here. Several thoughts from this passage. We have been commanded to rejoice in the Lord always. Right? This wasn't a suggestion. Didn't say, well, if you just have a certain personality type, rejoice in the Lord always. Or if you have a really good week, rejoice in the Lord. No, it says rejoice in the Lord always. Furthermore, this is Paul writing to the Philippian church. And he's in prison at the time he's writing. And he's the one saying, rejoice in the Lord always. And then it's interesting, but I think he knows that can be challenging. So he says it again. Again, I say, rejoice. Always watch when the Bible repeats things because the Holy Spirit is putting extra emphasis on this. But he's saying rejoice. Now, God's commands are never burdensome. In other words, he never asks us to do something that's going to be bad for us. And he always empowers us to do it. So if he tells us to rejoice in the Lord always, again, I say rejoice, that means that he's given us the ability to do it, and he is empowering us to do it, right? That's what it means. You can have, so this kind of verse, when you see it, anytime you see God command something, always remember, if he's commanding, it's not burdensome, it's for my good, and he is giving me the power to do it. And so we need to make a decision every single day. I'm rejoicing in the Lord today. I'm stirring up joy today. By faith, I'm receiving a fresh infilling of the joy of the Holy Spirit. See, that's where we've got to get into that. It's a spirit thing. It's not just a natural thing. Don't get up and look at your circumstances and look what's going on and decide if you're going to have joy today. Get up and look at Jesus. Look at what God's done for you. Look at the gospel. Look at who you are in him and make a choice to stir up the joy of the Holy Spirit in your life. Stir it up. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. It's interesting here too because this is not a feeling. Right? This is a choice that leads to a feeling. And so make that decision. Last place he says, I love this. It says, rejoice in the Lord. Right? There not might be a lot of joy right now in your job. There might not be a lot of joy in kind of some of the things that are going on around us. There might not only be a joy in having to social distance and isolate, but there's joy in the Lord. Right? So just where's your eyes? Where's your focus? What are you abiding in? Because we're going to rejoice in him. Come on, somebody say rejoice in the Lord. You have a choice of what you're going to put your eyes on. You have a choice what you're going to put your joy in. If you're trying to find joy in the world, it's going to be a tough run. But if you learn to find your joy in Jesus, you learn to find your joy in him and who he is and what he's done for you and all he's given you, you are going to walk in the joy of the Lord. Two more verses really quick. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice always. That's it. That's the verse. Rejoice always. Right? It's just one of the shortest verses. It's pretty close to Jesus wept. But this, guys, this is a command. Rejoice always. This is it. Rejoice always. Make a decision. Don't rejoice sometimes. Don't rejoice just when it's easy. Don't just rejoice when everything worked out the way I wanted to work and, you know, this has happened and that's happened. I can see where this is. No, rejoice always. This is his command. But once again, I remind you, if God tells us to do it, it's for our good and it's because he's going to empower us to do what he's asked to do. Come on, somebody say rejoice always. In Jesus' name, you will rejoice always. And last but not least, Romans 12, verse 12, and I believe this is a very important verse for us even this year. It says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, and be constant in prayer. And family, as I bring this message to a close today, I just want to encourage you, let's let the Word of God, even from this verse, speak to us. First off, in 2021, we need to rejoice in hope. In other words, we talked about hope in December. We're talking about joy in January, but you need to get your eyes just fixed on the hope that's in Jesus. What is he saying to you for this year? What are the rhema words he's given to you? You know, a lot of times we just have lost sight of what God has said, and we're getting thrown off by the winds and the waves around us. Get your eyes off the wind and the waves. Get your eyes off the circumstances and the problems. Get your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Get your eyes fixed on his word. Get your eyes fixed on his promises. Get your eyes fixed on the hope that he has, the earnest expectation that good is coming, and then rejoice in that. Take joy in that. Rejoice in hope. But then this now leads you to being patient in tribulation. Now, what's tribulation? Tribulation is just talk about hard times, difficult circumstances. Right now, we're in a world where there's a lot of tribulation. There's a lot of hard times. It's not as hard for us as it is for some. It's harder for us than it is for others. Wherever we are in that spectrum, it's still hard. You're living your life. It's difficult. But you need to be patient in tribulation. Now, you know we've talked a lot about patience. Bible patience, which, by the way, is another fruit of the Spirit. It's not something you have to just grit your teeth and figure out yourself. It comes from the Holy Spirit in your life, right? But patience in the Bible means being steadfast. It talks about, it's like having a grittiness to you, a stand that you are not backing down off no matter what. So in the midst of difficulties, God's saying this year, he's number one saying, listen, get your eyes fixed on hope and rejoice. Be filled with joy. Stir up joy every single day. And then number two, stand firm in the midst of challenges. Now, one of the ways I can stand firm is because I'm filled with joy, and the joy of the Lord is my strength. Right? See how these things connect? But I still need to make a decision, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to stand firm. And then last but not least, and be constant in prayer. These are three key marker points for us in 2021, family. Rejoicing in hope, being patient in tribulation, and being constant in prayer. God is calling you. He's calling me. He's calling us into a deeper place of prayer. Now, I know I say this quite a bit. Sometimes I feel like a bit of a broken record, but I'm going to keep saying it because there's always more that he's called us into. You know, this past week, we had some amazing times of prayer. This week, we're going to give you some other options to be able to continue to plug into prayer while we move forward with some other things of this 21 days of joy. But here's the bottom line. The bottom line is you really start growing in your walk with God when you don't need somebody just to hand something to you, but you can start feeding yourself. Right? When you're a spiritual babe, there's nothing wrong with getting spoon-fed by somebody else. When you're a baby, you need to do that. So you throw the food everywhere. But there's a problem if you got a 22-year-old son and you're still spoon-feeding him. Right? That's not the way it's supposed to be. You want to learn to feed yourself. Now, I'll still cook for you, but you feed yourself. In the same way, this is a year for many of us where God is saying, I want you to go to a new level of feeding yourself. In other words, it's you seek God and say, okay, God, what are you calling me to deeper in prayer? Right? Like, it's great we do these things as a church, and we're going to keep doing them, or we're going to have more times of prayer and fasting and seeking God throughout this year. I believe there's going to be some really cool things that we do together as a church family. But do you just have to wait till someone says you have to do it, or will you just grab a hold of it with God? And will you just go there and say, you know, I'm going deeper in prayer. Holy Spirit, teach me to pray this year. Teach me to be a man or woman of prayer. Teach me to go deeper in what God has. Let's be constant in prayer. Amen? Let's rejoice in hope. Let's be patient in tribulation. And let's be constant in prayer. And speaking of prayer, let me pray for you as you close. Now, if you're with me and you're saying, God, help me to rejoice in hope. Help me to be steadfast and patient in difficulty and tribulation. And help me to be constant in prayer. I just want you to hold your hands out where you are right now like you're receiving a gift. I'm going to pray this over you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you today for your word. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in us as a church family in this area of joy. Lord, I thank you that joy is our portion. Lord, I thank you that joy is one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in us, that Jesus said you've given us your joy and that our joy is going to be full. And so we just once again declare, we refuse to settle for a life void of joy, but we are going to live in your joy every single day. The world didn't give it. The world's not going to take it away because our joy is found in you. We rejoice in the Lord always. And again, we say, rejoice. And so, Father, I just thank you, and I speak that over every person today. We are growing in joy. We are going deeper in joy. Oppression, depression is breaking off of people's lives as the joy of the Lord wells up within them, Father, because we thank you that your joy is our strength. And it's our strength in this season, and it's going to be our strength in seasons to come. And so we love you, Lord, and we thank you for this today in Jesus' name. And everyone agreed with me, said, amen. Come on, somebody say, I'm filled with joy. You are filled with joy. Now, before we go, I want to talk to some very important people watching right now. That's people who are not right with God. I've been talking a lot about Jesus today. I've been talking about the joy that we can find in him. But the first step to walking in that is committing our lives to Him and becoming followers of Christ. Right? The Bible teaches us that God loves us with this everlasting love, but we've been separated from that love by sin. Sin is when we go against God. It's when we miss the mark. We can sin with our thoughts. We can sin with our actions. We can sin with our words. And the Bible says we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of God's standard. Because of that, we deserve punishment. Right? Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. That's talking not just about a physical death, but a spiritual death and a separation from God for eternity. That's what we all deserve. I'm not just pointing the finger at you. I'm talking about myself. We all deserve that. But then that verse goes on to say, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. God is a free gift for us of eternal life. So we don't have to face eternal death. We don't have to be separated from Him forever, but we can be united with Him forever. But here's the key. We've got to make a decision to reject sin and commit our lives to Him. And so if you are listening to me today and you've never given your life to Christ, why not do it today? Why not do it right now? Or maybe you're watching and you used to follow Jesus, but you know you've fallen away. Why not start 2021 off on the right foot by getting your life back right with God? Amen? And so if you're either one of those people, I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. And even if you already are right with God, but just where you are, why don't you just pray it along with me as well. Father, thank you today for Jesus. Just repeat this after me. Say, Jesus, thank you for coming for me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for rising again. Today I turn my back on sin and I commit my life to you. You are my Lord. Fill me. Forgive me. Free me. I want to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, I want you to know that supernaturally, you now come into a place that you're right with God. And interestingly enough, we're talking about joy. The Bible says that there is more joy in the angels of heaven, that they rejoice every time even one person repents. One person comes, gives their life to God. You've set off a party in heaven. There's so much rejoicing. But it's also a journey. It's a life God's called you to. We want to be able to support you and help you walk this life. So if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, I want to encourage you to use. There's some contact information here, or you can just click a button that you're going to see that you can say, I've committed my life to Christ. And we want to pray with you. We want to stand with you. There's actually someone who'd be available to pray with you right now. If you just click on that button, just talk with you and make sure we support your walk with God. Amen? Awesome. God bless you. All right. Well, before we go, I do want to remind you every week as we do about our opportunity for bringing our tithes and offerings. The Bible talks about that God loves a cheerful or a joyful giver. And I just want to encourage you as we continue on this journey of joy, continue on this journey, that part of that is in our giving. And so I'm so thankful for the faithfulness here in Toronto City Church. Thank you to each one of you who are regularly bringing your tithes and your offerings. It's making such a difference. It's making such an impact. And we're really thankful for that. But I really want to encourage you, let's just continue to give with joy. And if you've not yet given and you'd like to start giving, you can contact us for more information, or the giving information is here on the screen for you. I also want to remind you about our first fruits offering that we have coming up the first Sunday in February. We are going to be taking the time, and I want you to be praying from now, of bringing a radical, joy-filled offering to God to start this year off. And so I want to encourage you, just be praying about it right now. Lord, what would you have me to give above my regular tithes and offerings? What is a radical, joy-filled offering that I could bring to you? Amen? All right, God bless you. We love you guys. Let's keep plugging into joy. Remember the things we're doing this week. We're going to keep doing our Bible reading. I'm going to be with you every day, Monday to Friday, on Faithfield Video Devotionals. We've got the House of Prayer, Worship and Prayer Night on Tuesday night, virtually at 7:30. We're going to have that virtual Bible study with another church community on Friday night. Lots happened this week. And there's going to be other opportunities to plug into prayer and to plug in what God's doing. If you're not on the list yet, get on the list. We'll send you all the information. But we love you. God bless you. Have an amazing day. And make sure you check out our weekly announcements before you log off. God bless.